my precious little sister, a profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority that God gives me through his church, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praying for the church at Fairhaven at Tipton, Georgia, and they don't have a pastor right now. Brother Judd Wow resigned. He's back in Texas now. And that's the church where Lori James is a member, who's had such a terrible time. And I talked to Judd today. She had a good day yesterday. It's amazing what they're having to do. Reconstruct her whole body and even cover up exposed blood vessels. It's all kind of stuff. It's amazing. The doctors are surprised she's still alive, but she may make it. So let's pray for that church at Tipton to have a pastor sit there soon, because we're going through a whole lot. And for Sister Lori also, then I'll go ahead and try to preach. Here, Kiefer, if you'll do that.
Father, we thank you for the baptizing this morning. Right now, we'd like to come to you humbly and ask you to bless the church at Fairhaven as they seek a pastor. We pray this morning that you're blessing their service as they meet right now. We ask you to give them patience, but also guidance and insight. Bless them in prayer as they seek a pastor. We thank you for your church that you set up and the way you love it. And we just ask you, Lord, to bless us this morning as we sit here. We ask you to humble us, to soften our hearts, open our ears to your word. In Christ we ask, amen.
As you know, I'm always asking you to pray for me, not only when I'm preaching, but also to decide what to preach about. And I have not forgotten my series on Philippians. What happened when I baptized Gannon, I got to thinking about the church covenant. And it's still been on my mind. And now, of course, it's obviously still on my mind with Sister Kelly joining. So I'm writing a commentary on that. I want to leave that behind as one of my legacies for a great chapel here. And so I'm going to read it to you again today and preach on that. Now, next Sunday, I think I'm going to preach on the resurrection. It's Easter Sunday, and I kind of feel like I want to do that. Then I got a couple more sermons on the covenant, then hope to get back to Philippians. So I'm trying to follow the Spirit the best I know how to do that. But I want to read to you the church covenant now. This, Sister Katie has already signed it. We signed it this morning, knowing she'd be baptized. And it's a solemn vow we take to the Lord and to each other as we become members of the church. So I'm going to read it to you, and then go ahead and try to speak from this covenant today. For as much as Almighty God, by his grace, had been pleased to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and all of us have been regularly baptized, forming profession of our faith in Christ Jesus, have given up ourselves to the Lord and to one another in a gospel church way, to be governed and guided by a proper discipline agreeable to the word of God, we do therefore, in the name of our Lord Jesus and by his assistance, covenant and agree, keep up the discipline of the church we are members of in the most brotherly affection towards each other, while we endeavor particularly to observe the following rules. In brotherly love, to pray for each other, to watch over one another, if need be, in those tender and affectionate manner to reprove one another. That is, we discover anything amiss in a brother, to go and tell him his fault according to the direction given by our Lord in the 18th chapter of Matthew, not to be whispering and backbiting. We also agree with God's assistance to pray in our families, attend our church meetings, observe the Lord's Day and keep it holy, not absent ourselves from the communion of the Lord's Supper without a lawful excuse, to be ready to communicate to the defraying the church's expenses and for the support of the ministry. These things we do covenant and agree to observe and keep sacred in the name of and with the assistance of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, a solemn covenant indeed. And this morning, I want to talk about, I'm going to call it where the rubber meets the road, because I preached last time on this here, but I want to put some real practical teeth in this thing. We agreed to watch over one another, and if need be, in the most brotherly and affectionate manner to approve one another. So I want to talk about that today in a concrete way. I'm going to go to several scriptures, and I invite you to turn with me, if you will, these scriptures. I just love the Bible, of course, and these word studies just thrill me. There's some wonderful word studies in the Bible here, and I hope they'll come alive to you today. So I'm going to read the first one, and we're watching over one another and helping each other. And I'm going to read, first of all, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And then I want the song in our book that's based on that. I'm going to read the song also. These are things we're supposed to be doing. We watch over one another. And I've been convicted. I've tried to do that, but I want to do better. I want to do a lot better. And I hope you will too. The more we can do on this, the better our church will be. So in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, ready? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a great scripture. Let me read it to you again, okay? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, every word here is important, restore such an one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And a song that is based on that is number 83, one of our favorite songs the old Charles Wesley wrote many years ago. Number 83, let's look at that one, because this is, kind of gets the essence of what Paul's talking about here in this Galatian letter. So here's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is a wonderful institution that God's given us. If we do it like it ought to be done, it's the safest place for a child of God to be, where we can help each other grow spiritually. I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't been in the church. I don't know where I'd have been. But I thank God for all the interaction I've had with my brothers and sisters, how they helped me out. And so I don't want to be found anywhere else but being in his church. Help us to help each other, Lord, each other's cross to bear. Let each his friendly aid afford and feel his brother's care. Help us to build each other up, our little stock improve, increase our faith, confirm our hope, and perfect us in love. Up into thee, the living head, let us in all things grow, till thou hast made us free indeed and spotless here below. Then when the mighty work is wrought, receive thy ready bride, give us in heaven a happy lot with all the sanctified. Now, I'm going to do some word studies. I'm going to do some word studies here. So pay attention to these. Every word's important here. That word restore, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, is a powerful word in the Greek. It means to mend, put back in place a dislocated member, to repair. It's even talking about, in secular Greek, if you got a dislocated limb, to put it back in place. And so sometimes we get dislocated. We need somebody to help us get back in place where we can operate. And I like this also in Mark chapter 1, verse 19. It's translated differently. Here is what Mark, in 1:19 is translated mending, speaking of fishermen mending their nets. So here we are, we're putting somebody's limb back in place that's gotten out of place, a net that needs to be repaired. We're repairing that net. So here's the idea. I put that all together. When you get right down to what it's saying here, the object of mending these nets, right, or fixing this dislocated joint, to put back into service that which has been dysfunctional. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Instead of getting somebody, now we're not sweeping sin under the rug. If a brother or sister is caught in a sin, we don't sweep them under the rug, but we're trying to get them where they get back on the firing line again. See, here's what the devil will do. I know how the devil works. He works on me this way. Have you ever committed a sin? And the devil comes and he says, you know, you're finished. You might as well keep on going down this pathway because you're blown it anyway. You'll never be worth anything anymore. That's the Satan talking. If you're in the military and got wounded, and they sent you to a field hospital, when you get wounded, what do? I mean, when you get mended, you go back on the battlefield, right? You don't stay in that field hospital. We don't want people staying in the field hospital. We want people active on the firing line. So I think that's a beautiful picture. That's what we ought to do. We ought to be functioning Christians in his church. That's exactly what we ought to be doing. So that's what that's talking about. Now, every word here is important, like I said. Who's going to do this restoration? Ye which are spiritual. The worst thing I can do is to be in an unspiritual frame of mind, try to restore my brother. I'll blow it every time. I didn't come across as a self-righteous Pharisee. I'll be so out of fellowship with God, I won't have good wisdom. So what does being spiritual mean? Just being in fellowship with God. We need to walk in fellowship with God, not only to please him, that's the most important thing, but also I'm going to be useful if I'm walking in fellowship with God. It's beautiful. I've seen people do that. A brother or sister that's got a good knowledge of the scripture and close to God, and get a brother or sister who's been messing up and get them right on the right pathway. That's a beautiful thing indeed. That's what we ought to want to do. In fact, let me read you a verse. I didn't think I'd read this, but I think I will. Just thought about this over in James. I think it's the last verse in James, in fact. Let's look over there and see if that's it. I think it is. You and I ought to want to do this. We ought to want to do this. See, it's easy to be self-centered, isn't it? Most of us are self-centered. In fact, we all are already. But I need to start thinking of others instead of myself all the time. Because I don't like to get out of my comfortable niche sometimes. When you invest in somebody, you've got to spend some time and effort in prayer in that. That's what's wrong with husbands and wives sometimes. Sometimes a husband or wife gets so selfish, they want to invest what they ought to in their spouse to help them out. So we're all guilty of that. But over here in James, this is great. Let's look at these last two verses of James, which is the fifth chapter of James. This is the mindset I want us to have. I want to have this more myself. The last two verses of James, chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and will convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, shall hide a multitude of sins. Isn't that beautiful? Somebody going down a pathway of self-destruction, and so we want to help them get back on that right pathway. It reminds me of Abraham. Now, Abraham, you know, when he and Lot separated, Lot was selfish. That's why they separated. They couldn't get along because they had too many flocks and herds to pasture at the same place. So they separated. And Lot should have shown deference to Abraham because Abraham was his senior and Lot was the junior. But Abraham graciously said, Lot, look, we can't walk together. You go where you want to go and you take the high road and I'll take the low road if that's what it takes. Well, Lot should have said, oh no, Father Abraham or Brother Abraham or Uncle Abraham, I guess, because he's Uncle Abraham. You just go where you want to go, and then I'll take what's left over. Not what old Lot. Lot was greedy. He lifted up his eyes toward the plain of Sodom because it's well-watered. There's a place to prosper. Well, we know what happened to him down there. He got in a mess. Well, when he got in a mess, there was a battle down there, and so Lot and his family were taken captive. Now, here's what Abraham could have done when he heard about the news. Well, that's the way the cookie crumbles. It's Lot's fault anyway. He got himself. Have you ever said that to anybody? They got it coming. Make your bed, you got to lie in it. Not old Abraham. He got excited. He went to take great effort to rescue his brother. He had 318 trained servants of his own household. They went a long way and rescued Lot, whipped up on the enemy, and brought Lot back. Lot still messed up later, but Abraham did the right thing. Let's have a mindset. Even if somebody does something, it's their own fault. We're not sweeping stuff under the rug. Have compassion and try to rescue them. That's the kind of attitude we ought to want to have. We ought to want everybody that we know in the Church of Jesus Christ be prospering Christians, if they're not, it ought to bother us. Isn't that beautiful? You which are spiritual, restore such a one, in the spirit of meekness, by the way. Now, if I'm going to come across like a self-righteous Pharisee, I won't restore anybody. Let's read a couple of places about meekness. The one we really ought to look at, and this is so great, brothers and sisters, I want you to believe what I'm telling you today. Because here the devil is a big liar. And so he makes us think that Jesus Christ is this way. The devil's picture of Jesus Christ is this. He got a great big old club. He's just watching you to make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, here comes the club. Wham. And you can't come to him when you sin. You got to get off behind a tree somewhere, get your act straightened up. Then when you're all cleaned up, you come to Jesus Christ. It never works that way. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ got a welcome mat out for sinners that are trying to return to him. Isn't that great? What about the prodigal son? Hey, the father looking at him a long way off. He saw his son coming. He ran to meet him. He fell on his neck and hugged his neck and kissed him. In the Greek, he just kissed and kissed and kissed. What a welcome home. My son that's lost is now found. He's dead, more or less. He come alive. Let's have a celebration. Let's kill the fatted calf. That's God, brother. That's Jesus Christ. Listen, you're drawn out of God, he'll draw out of you. You know what? If you're that clean, you can't clean it up. You come to him for cleansing. What kind of attitude did Jesus Christ have? Folded arms? Big club? No, let's look and see what he did. This is the only time Jesus Christ said anything about one of his characteristics. I didn't know that until that was pointed out to me not too long ago. What kind of characteristics did Jesus Christ describe about his own self? Here it is. It's wonderful. This is over in Matthew 11. I'll read verse 28 through 30. My precious Savior, I'm telling you the truth. This is God's word. You listen to this now. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Get this, I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. My friend, my precious Savior is meek. That doesn't mean he's a pushover, does it? Because he's holy. But I can come to him. Don't you like it when people have that kind of attitude? If you got in trouble, let me ask you a question. If you got in trouble, who in this church would you go to for help? Is there anybody you wouldn't go to because you're afraid they got that old arms crossed and they got that judgmental attitude? Now, you wouldn't want a pushover and say, oh, don't worry about that. You wouldn't want that kind of person either. They're not telling you the truth, right? Because the wounds of a friend are faithful. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I want somebody to tell me my faults, but in a way I can take it and bear it. It won't just completely crush me. Now, look. Sometimes, now Jesus Christ was meek. Isn't that great? Let's look over in 2 Timothy now for a moment. Here's how we have to deal with each other if we want to help each other. I like what David Powell says. He said, you know, Zach, we don't need to win arguments. We need to win people. I think he's right about that. I might win an argument and be proud of myself, but I might have lost a brother or sister. And it'd be really a lot of my fault, even if they might have been wrong to start with. Look over in this wonderful scripture in 2 Timothy. And let's look in verse 24 through 26. Hope you'll write these down or remember these anyway. These are great scriptures. The rubber meeting the road here, isn't it? All right, look. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, not argue strenuously, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, and God, prayer and ritual, will give them repentance to acknowledge the truth. They may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, taken captive by him at his will. Isn't that great? The next time you're going to approach somebody, read the scripture first. And you know what? I'll tell you another one too. Over in 1 Timothy 5, it says, rebuke not an elder, but treat him as a father, the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger sisters with all purity. Well, anyway, that is not talking about an elder. They're like elders, I guess the preacher is talking about elderly people. So I remember one time I was in Kentucky and was pastoring a church, and one of the men there had kind of got out of line. And I thought I had to go talk to him. It scared me to death to go talk to him. But this scripture helped me. Rebuke not an elder. I said, you know what? I'm going to treat him just like I treat my daddy. I wouldn't chew my daddy out. I love my daddy too much. I'm not going to chew this guy out either. I'm going to go in and appeal to him. And it worked. So the next time you get to talk to somebody, that just have that mindset. I'm going to approach them in meekness and wisdom and apt to teach and think about what I'm going to say to them before we're down there. And I'm going to treat him as an elder. And treat him. Not fuss at him. Not, get self-righteous with him. But I'm going to treat you as an elder. That's what the friend of the Bible is a great book, isn't it? All right. Then it says again there, we got to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the life of Christ, so fulfill the law of Christ. And I love this. You have said this before. I love this one. Get on, if you don't have a heart warmer, get on a, type into Google sometime and get that boy town in Omaha, Nebraska. And they got a statue out front of that orphan's home up there. And the guy's carrying his brother. He said, he ain't heavy, mister. He's my brother. I like it. He ain't heavy, mister. He's my brother. Remember old Bob Cratchit carrying Tiny Tim around? He wasn't heavy. I'll tell you what, if we love each other, it won't be heavy either. Yes, I'll spend some time helping my brother and my sister out as I watch over them. All right, let's go now to another scripture. This is over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Pay good attention now. I won't go a long time today, but I want to cover some wonderful ground here. Good practical ground. This is over in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And I'm going to give you some more word studies. I love the word studies. You know, the Holy Ghost inspired this Bible, every word of it. Every word of it he inspired. that a wealth of information, gold mine, in the words of God that he has in his inspired word. All right. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a good goal man there also. All right, the word consider. Now, get your seatbelt on. You might have to get a taper here. You might not get to write all this down. I'll give you my notes if you want them. I'm going to consider Tony Martin. I'll pick on you, Tony. You're back there on the back bench. He won't get mad at me. I'm considering Tony Martin. What am I doing? Just kind of giving him a little thought. Last about half a minute. Nope. It means, and I got several different dictionaries, Greek dictionaries to get these out of, put it all together. To think about, to ponder, to consider attentively, to fix one's eyes upon, to understand fully. And the preposition is attached to it, makes it intensive and forced. That's what happened in the Greek word. You put a preposition in front of it, it intensified it, brother. Holy Ghost intensified this one here. So I'm going to tell you my thoughts on this as I wrote these down. If we fulfill this, we'll be spending some quality, prayerful time thinking about our brothers and sisters. And the best time to do that is when you're praying through the membership list. We need to ponder or think about our members in order we can provoke them to love and good works. We must think through these situations. We must think about how we can approach particular individuals in order to obtain certain results in their life. You know, one shoe doesn't fit every foot. I'll say something about that a little bit later. I wouldn't approach Harris the same way I would say Roy probably. They got different personalities. So if I'm really love these guys like I should, I'll think about now, what's the best way to approach these guys? I'll pray about it and ask God for some insight. Now, I'm going to provoke somebody. That's a pretty bad word, it provoke. But you provoke somebody, you stir them up. Well, that's right. But this time you're provoking them to something good. You want some action. You're provoking them to loving good works. You want some action. You remember what I said about old Churchill? Old Churchill used to put these little red slips out. Action today. People just drove people crazy, but he got some things done. In other words, I'm giving you subordinates some things to think about, but don't just think about it. Action today. So what I'm trying to do is to provoke my brother. I'm considering him, first of all. I'm going to provoke him to love and good works. My friend, that's wonderful. That's just wonderful. Now, I said it. It's good stuff. Chew on it. All right? Let's go to another one. Others. I'm going to talk about others now. Others. This is all where the rubber meets the road. We're watching over one another for good. Okay, here we go. Ready? Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let's turn there. Philippians 2, 4. All right, here we go. Look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of, say it, others. And then it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He gives an illustration of who did that. Because he did that. Let me give you a verse about Jesus Christ. Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come. You know, now here's what we do in church sometimes. I don't think we've been doing it at Great Chapel. I sure hope not. But sometimes so-and-so didn't speak to me. I got that chip on my shoulder he knocked off. Nobody loves me. We can get that way. We can all get that way. I've been slighted. If you're thinking about yourself, that's the way you feel. If I'm thinking about others, I ain't got time to think about myself too much. And the Son of Man, my friend, had a tough life. But even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister to give his life ransom for many. So others. All right, now I'm going to read what I wrote about this. I do some thinking about all these things, try to get my thoughts together. So let me tell you what I said about this to myself. When we look on the things of others, we must put some serious effort into it. And I've already said that, hadn't I? All these scriptures apply that. This is obvious when we look at the meaning of the word translated look. Say, here's another good Greek word. Here's one of those gold mines. That word is skopeo. We get the word scope from it. When you look through a scope, either a telescope or a microscope, you're doing some intensive looking. That's what this word is. We get the, okay, it means, here again, extended definition. It means to take aim at, to consider, take heed, look at, mark, fix one's mind on, to direct one's attention to. I'll read that one more time. You can have my notes if you want them. It's a strong word like the other word, consider. My friend, the Holy Ghost got a lot of different words, practical synonyms, to emphasize this point. Let's read it again. Take aim at, consider, take heed, look at, mark, fix one's mind on, direct one's attention to. I wrote this. What a blessing. We have a church composed of members who care for each other to the extent they're deeply interested in one another and think intensely about each other. And one of my favorite songs, I love the tune, I love the words, is Others. I love the tune, I love the words. So let me read you that chorus. Others, Lord, yes, others. This is my motto be, help me to live for others. I may live like thee. Oh, my brethren, I wish we could do that more. Again, I could preach this whole sermon, I guess, in two words. Selfish versus selfless. Our lower nature is selfish, all of us. We get to work on being selfless. And God would be pleased with that. All right, let's go to another scripture. These are all so rich. This is also rich. Let's go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 14 for another wonderful, wonderful word study. Romans 15. This is encouraging too. This one's going to be very encouraging to you because sometimes we think we can't do this, but we can. God's people have humility and they think, well, I just can't do this, but you can. Certainly you can't through your own efforts, but you can through him who strengthens you. A whole book came out of this one verse. Jay Adams wrote a book, one of the best books I've ever read, called Competent to Counsel, based on Romans 15, 14. That book transformed my life. I remember one time Gene and I took a trip up to Delaware. On the way there, we stopped off at, I think it was Virginia Beach or somewhere, to drop somebody off. And a pastor gave me that book, Competent to Counsel, and I ate that thing. I didn't really eat it, but I almost ate it. I was living in Kentucky then, out in the country. There's a grove of trees outside I like to go study. I sit there in a chair and read that thing. I mean, I'm just like my feet wouldn't hardly hit the ground. It's so good. Y'all read it. It's still available. So let me read you this verse. I'll tell you what J. Adams said about this. He's right, too. See, people who are professional psychiatrists or psychologists say, oh, you can't do anything but Band-Aid stuff. Serious problems, you got to turn to the professionals. Well, most professionals are in trouble themselves. In fact, there's a higher suicide rate among psychologists than there are the common population. Oh, you got a serious problem, you better get a professional. You got a serious problem, you better turn to the Lord. And my friend, let me read you this here, this verse. And I myself, talking to all the church at Rome, women and men, boys and girls. Romans 15, 14. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. That word is nuthateo. J. Adams got this word, nuthetic counseling, out of that. And let me tell you what it's saying. I'm going to read you a few things in a minute. He said, look, if you're full of goodness. Now, what does he mean by that? We all know we're sinners. He means you're walking close to God. Like spiritual, I said a while ago. We got to walk close to God, friends. We're going to help each other out. We got to. Be spiritual. Be full of goodness. You sin every day. Repent. Ricky and I talked about that a while ago. He said, Ricky, remember you said if you sin, what do you do, Ricky? Repent as fast as you possibly can. Get back in fellowship with God. Be obedient to God as much as you possibly can. Then you'll be able to shape you up each other. You're full of goodness, filled with knowledge. What kind of knowledge, Jay Adams? What kind of knowledge? Well, right here. Right here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, that is complete. Thoroughly furnished into all good works. How much have you been in there this week? The more you're in there, the more you can help folks. So he said, I also am persuaded of you, my brethren. You're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also, that's the word dunamis. We get the word dynamite from it. So you got some dynamite power. Able also to admonish or counsel one another. Now, that word nuthateo has three elements in it. Let me give you three elements. Number one is, it's a verbal confrontation. You got to talk to somebody. That's implied in this word. Number two, the verbal confrontation is designed to bring about change. It's not just talking. And number three, that change is taken out of concern for the individual you're talking to. It's concern for the glory of God, the good of that individual. Let me say that again. You're confronting somebody. You're filled with goodness. You're walking close to God the best you can. You've been reading your Bible. You're not an expert, but you're reading it. You're in the Word of God. So then you have that ability to counsel each other. And this counseling will be a verbal confrontation, not just thinking about somebody, talking to them, but you're not talking just to be talking with the aim of bringing change. That change is based out of concern, the glory of God, the good of the individual. Isn't that encouraging? You, friend, are competent to counsel. You, sister, are competent to counsel. You, brother, are competent to counsel each other. You know, if you had a chance to, you had a real bad problem, and you had this professional over here who didn't know the Lord, and you had this poor old guy over here, he's pretty ignorant, but he loves the Lord with all of his heart, you'd be a lot better going off this old ignoramus over here, as far as the world concerned, that knew something about God to get the right kind of advice than you and this guy over here. All right, let's go one more now. We need to have wisdom because there are people who are in different situations, and we need to be able to wisely, prayerfully consider what kind of condition people might be in, because like I said earlier, one shoe does not fit all feet. So let's go to a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read verse 14. I just love these scriptures. I know you do too. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, that he's going to have some different types of individuals here. We're exhorting. Warn them that are unruly. Support the weak. No, comfort the feeble-minded. I left one out. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. So we're going to be patient toward everybody. We're going to be long-suffering toward everybody. We got different classes. Let me tell you what these words mean. Unruly means disorderly. You're out of rank. So you got to warn them. Sometimes a brother or sister, you got to have some strong medicine. You ever heard of tough love? Sometimes it can be tough love. You got to have the wisdom to know how to do the tough love. So somebody that's unruly, I'm going to warn them. Okay? But feeble-minded doesn't mean somebody who's got a low IQ. It means a faint-hearted individual. There are a lot of faint-hearted people. What do I do to them? Then I've got to comfort them. See, I've got to comfort them. I wouldn't approach them like I would, or like the other brother. I'm going to comfort that individual. I'm going to read him scriptures like, say, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I'll give him a scripture like 1 Peter 5, 7. Catch all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's a brother, he needs some help. But then this other one is so sweet. That the other one there says to support the weak. And that is great. This is somebody maybe weak, even in spirit or body, either one. Now, I'll read this word support is a powerful word. I'm going to give you the word picture. It's the very rich word. It means to keep oneself directly opposite to anybody, to hold firmly to him. In other words, let's just say, I'll pick on you again, Harris. You're on the second bench. You got it coming anyway. Here old Harris is, and he's just weak. He's weak in his knees. So what I do, I get up to Harris, and I just grab him like that and hold him up. That's what that word means in the Greek. Isn't it sweet? Sometimes I pressure a brother, maybe you're weak. I got to spend some time. I got to spend some effort. I'm holding him up. I'm literally holding him up. We got to hold each other up, haven't we? And be patient toward all men. Now, let me give you another one, and I'll be through. I love to memorize scripture, because when you memorize scripture, you've got to consider every word. I never will forget when God showed me this in the book of Jude. Now, the point I'm making here, I hope I didn't go too quickly on that point. The point I'm making is, People have different kind of personalities in different situations. I've got to be careful that I customize my approach to the situation that will be appropriate to help that individual and glorify God. But in the book of Jude, which is next to Revelation, just one chapter, and when I memorized this book one time, I just got happy as I could be here. Let's look at verse 20 and 21. We're going to have some qualifications to be able to do this first. Like I said, be spiritual-minded, be meek and all that. Verse 20 is going to give us qualifications of what we got to do. Then verse 21 is going to tell me what to do with different individuals. This is Jude, verse 20 and 21. Look at verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. You got to be doing that. And that word faith there, I think, means the word of God. Because sometimes that's what it means, the objective word of God. And Jude said we must earnestly contend for the faith was delivered to the saints. So I think he talked, I'm in my Bible. Building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. He's helping me pray. It's not just a cursory prayer. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That doesn't mean absolutely, because only God can keep me in love. It means in a conscious way. Be aware of God's love. Because I'm aware of God's love, I can do anything, can I? The devil wants to obscure that fact. But if I can just be assured of God's love and keep myself in His love by reading the Bible and believing what God says, then looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. I'm looking to the future. I'm going to go to glory. So that's our qualifications. Let me read them to you again. Ye beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith. I'm in my Bible. Praying the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Now I'm shaped to what He said in verse 21. Or verse 22, I'm sorry. And 23, more verse than I thought it was. Now, some have compassion making a difference. I'm having compassion on these individuals. They're probably the faint-hearted. But guess what happens sometimes? And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even those garments spotted by the flesh. Sometimes my brother or sister may be heading for destruction. They're self-destructive. They're messing up. The hammer fit to come down. We jerk them out of the fire. One time, let me tell you an experience. I'm through. One time, there was a young sister that was really not doing well at all. And she's kind of a, I don't know, her personality is kind of a scary personality. You hate to approach this person. So I just dreaded to approach her. I knew I had to do that. But I knew she'd be mad at me. I knew she'd get mad at me. So God blessed this big light bulb to come on my head. I'm sure glad the light bulb came because it worked. I said, I'm going to talk to you about something. It's probably going to make you mad. But let me give you a word picture before I do it. What if I was passing by your house about 2 o'clock in the morning, I saw flames coming out of the attic? And you're asleep. If I holler, wake you up, you're going to make you mad at first because you don't get waked up. But when you realize what I got you up for, you'll be glad I did it. And surprisingly, she took my counsel. So, my friend, sometime, if somebody's house is on fire, you got to jerk them out of that fire. And if some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, putting them out of the fire, hate even a garment spotted by the flesh. Hallelujah, brethren. What a book we've got to help us do what our church covenant says. We can watch over one another. And then you be in the most tender and affectionate manner. Reprove one another. We can do that if we use the holy word of God prayerfully. So I commend that to you. All right, we're going to have a great time now. We want to sing Amazing Grace and get Katie to come down front. We all want to give her a welcome handshake. And everybody here in the building is welcome to do that today, whether you're a Great Chapel member or not, to give their sister a welcome. We never know your heart. There may be somebody else who wants to make a profession of faith. And what a good time because the battery is full of water. So let's sing Amazing Grace. Come on, Katie.